The US Federal Reserve did as expected and lifted interest rates by a quarter of a percentage point last week. But two of Australia's big banks did the unexpected and used the cover of the Fed move to increase their mortgage rates, particularly for investors. And Monday Finance commentator Michael Yander joins us to make sense of all this. Michael, hello there.
Morning, Fran.
Michael, you warned us a couple of weeks ago that rising US interest rates could see Australian mortgage rates go up. Did you expect it to pass through so quickly?
Not at all, Fran.
It was almost hours, wasn't it?
It was hours.
The NAB did it.
Yeah, that afternoon. And the Fed provided good cover for the major banks, I would say, especially NAB, which did it on the day of. And, of course, Westpac moved the very next day, of course, on a Friday afternoon, which is another favourite time to spring bad news on people. And these aren't small rate increases either. As much as 28 basis points. That's more than a typical Reserve Bank interest rate increase for some investment loan customers.
Yeah, that's normally 25 basis points.
Exactly. So these are big rate increases for investors. And it's a clear target of investors in particular, because the rate rises for owner-occupiers were much smaller, around 3 or 7 basis points compared to 25 and up to 28. Now, Westpac particularly has targeted investment lending with interest only, and that targeting of interest only lending seems to be in advance of the potential for further regulatory tightening by the bank regulator, APRA.
So that sort of indicates that these mortgage rate rises have more to do with local factors than the Fed's rate increase.
Yeah, in fact, a local interest rate strategist with one of the big four banks told me that funding costs for those banks have eased a bit over the past few months, if anything, despite a couple of Federal Reserve interest rate rises in the US. Same message coming from respected bank analyst Brian Johnson. So this round of rate rises does seem both opportunistic to boost bank profit margins, but also designed to get in ahead of widely expected further regulatory changes. We have seen Reserve Bank governor and officials coming out saying that investment lending in Sydney and Melbourne is too strong. But of course, as US interest rates continue to rise over the next few months, I think that will start feeding through to funding costs and therefore pushing up interest rates even more here in Australia.
The US is not the only other major country where interest rates are rising?
Yeah, we saw a surprise 10 basis point increase in some key Chinese interbank lending rates. So not the official cash rate, but rates that the central bank controls banks lending to each other. And that was straight after the Federal Reserve decision. So it helps stem the flow of money out of China now that those US rates are rising. And like in Australia, it also appears to be part of a move to cool the property market. We've seen a bunch of Chinese banks actually hit up against lending limits that were imposed by the Chinese regulatory authorities. They're supposed to have no lending growth compared to last quarter.
Okay. Well, speaking of housing, the federal government here, not in China, has committed to some affordability measures in the budget, in the May budget. We're seeing a whole lot of ideas floated, aren't we, at the moment?
That's right. Some of them are very good and some of them are pretty bad economically. One of the very good ideas is replacing stamp duty with a broad-based land tax, something that I've been writing about for many years. It's now been costed by the Parliamentary Budget Office and it does seem to be floating in the background. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but it would be great if it did, because stamp duty is one of the most inefficient taxes economically. It costs a lot of money to the economy because it prevents people from moving to more appropriate housing, whereas land tax doesn't have that cost. And in fact, Treasury modelling shows that introducing a land tax is a net benefit to the economy. It's one of the only taxes that actually enhances economic growth. But there's also a very dangerous idea being pushed around, which I wrote about last week as well, which is allowing first home buyers to use some of their super for a housing deposit.
And why is this a bad idea?
Well, not only will it just add demand to the market, which of course will help push prices up higher, but the danger is we're already overcommitted to housing as a store of wealth in Australia. And if you encourage people to put their super into housing as well, if we do have a housing crash, everyone's eggs are all in one basket. And not only do they lose their home, they lose their super savings too.
So your house is all your wealth and your super is diminished.
Exactly.
Paul Keating, who's, I think, sees himself and regarded by many as the architect of the National Super scheme. He's on the warpath about this morning in one of the papers. Speaking of threats to super, the lobby group for industry super is going on an all-out attack against the big banks.
Yeah, most people would be familiar with industry super's long-running ad campaign.
From little things, big things grow. From little little things, big things grow.
Now, Fran, we've all heard that ad nauseum on our TV sets for many years, but Industry Super's new advertising campaign being launched today is more in common with an election attack ad. It features a little girl saying goodnight to her chickens before going to bed, probably a not-so-subtle reference to our super nest eggs. And then come the big four banks, portrayed as foxes around that hen house, and here's how it plays out, complete with a sinister soundtrack.
The big banks want to get their hands on your super. And they're putting pressure on our federal politicians to let them in.
But even without the vision, that's scary.
It is. That's the ad that's being launched today by Industry Super. And you'd have to say it really starts an open war between the not-for-profit Industry Super sector and the big financial institutions and their retail super funds over the rules governing superannuation. I asked Industry Super's Australia's chief executive, David Whiteley, whether the switch from a positive advertising campaign highlighting his sector's outperformance relative to the retail funds to negative ads just attacking the major banks risks alienating some of the fund members.
Well, the ad is obviously intended to be memorable, but this is a very important issue. What we're seeing at the moment is a lobbying campaign that's been sustained over several years by the banks towards the government and others in Parliament to try and change the super laws for what we believe is their commercial interest and not in the public interest.
Do you think there's a risk of this ad falling into the realms of hyperbole?
Not at all. We've researched this ad extensively. The vast majority of people that we've tested support industry super funds calling out the banks for their lobbying activities and have accepted the premise behind the ad.
So what are the threats that you're worried about from this bank lobbying that you say is going on in Canberra?
Firstly, that the banks have been lobbying the government to change the structure of the governance of industry super funds. And secondly, what the banks have been seeking to do is to get rid of consumer protections for people that do not choose their own super fund. In effect, the banks have been quite explicit in saying that they want to decouple superannuation from employment and wages, whether that's awards or enterprise agreements. What the banks are seeking to do is, in our view, to force Australian workers to have to choose their own fund, notwithstanding the fact that the vast majority of people currently do not choose their own fund and they rely on employer defaults. The concern for us is that what this will lead to is an increase in mis-selling super products or banks seeking to bundle up their super products with an employer's business banking requirements.
That's Industry Super's David Whiteley. Now, one can imagine the response from the banks will be, what's wrong with greater choice for superannuation fund members rather than being pushed into default funds? And we know that the federal government's financial services minister, Kelly O'Dwyer, said she is not backing down on the move to legislate one-third independent directors for the industry super funds and all super funds. So this is going to be an ongoing issue.
Okay, just a couple of quick ones. Adani's Carmichael Coal Mine is a step closer, is it, despite the community campaigns going on?
That's right. There's been a delegation over in India led by Queensland's Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, and Adani's owner has told them he expects his board to make a final decision on the project in May or June and that it's likely to secure funding and get the go-ahead, and construction could start as early as August if that comes
through. No word on where they'll secure the funding from?
No word on that yet.
And just finally, Michael, what can we expect from the markets today?
It was a quiet day to end last week on Wall Street. Globally, though, equities touched a record high, but in the US stocks fell at about 0.1%. Local shares also set to open lower, down about 0.2%, with the SPY 200 futures at 5,770 and the Australian dollar pretty steady since the end of last week at 76.9 US cents.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Yander, our regular Monday finance commentator and editor of ABC Business Online.